This is the fifth lecture on HUNA, and your speaker again is Max Freedom Long. In this series of lectures, we are considering an ancient secret system of psychology plus religion, which has been traced back to early Egypt. This system, called HUNA, eventually spread itself around the world, always being kept within a clan of initiated priests called Kahunas. In India, Egypt, and China, outside influences eventually contaminated the original beliefs, and finally, the system became lost. However, much of the psychology was preserved in the remote islands of Polynesia and has been recovered in part during the past century. This system is best described and explained by the use of the same constructs used by the ancient priests. They taught that man is comprised of three separate and independent souls, or minds, or units of consciousness. We like to call them selves, which make use of the physical body during life. This belief correlates nicely with modern psychology's subconscious mind, conscious mind, and superconscious mind. For convenience, we have come to call these three selves the subconscious low self, the conscious the middle self, and the superconscious the high self. As has been explained, the low self is purely animal in its makeup as a self, with the lesser deductive power of reason. It is the seat of the emotions and also of the memories. Remembering memories of former experiences, the low self arrives at a conclusion. Its will or desire is always based on memories of former expectancies. The middle self of man, however, cannot remember. It leaves this to the low self. It also has no emotions, but it shares the emotions of the low self, sometimes being carried away by them. It uses an inductive power of reason, a much better reasoning form. The high self of the man has a superior power of reason that is beyond the understanding of most men. Perhaps it is more than reason. It seems to be an intuitive knowledge of some kind. For a normal human being to understand the reasoning power of the high self would be akin to a five-year-old trying to understand a calculus. The low self manufactures the basic life force or life energy. This is important. It manufactures the life energy, and this we call mana, M-A-N-A, after the Polynesian. Each of the three selves takes its share of this mana from the body, where it is created from the food we eat and the air we breathe. Each self uses this energy in a different way and for a different purpose. The low self utilizes its level of energy to enable the body to function as an animal body. The middle self uses its level of mana energy to control the low self with what we call willpower. The high self can use its mana to make changes in physical matter, as in the control of heat during fire walking. It also can perform miracles for us with the use of its high mana. I suggest that we take a very practical attitude and learn how to use this system. One of the easiest uses of the magic of HUNA is through self-suggestion. Self-suggestion is nothing more than a telephone conversation in which the conscious mind gives orders to the subconscious mind, and then, after hanging up, remain certain that the orders will be fully and faithfully obeyed. Suggestion is a natural action, taking place constantly in conversation. A friend might remark on how well you look, and if you are impressed, you are immediately feeling better. Conversely, your whole outlook and well-being will be threatened if your friend points out how tired and peaked you look. There's a certain element of suggestion in all of these interchanges. The power of suggestion has been known to modern man for only a short time, relatively speaking. As early as 1894, Dr. J.M. Feathergill wrote a book entitled The Willpower, in which he did the groundwork of showing the nature of the subconscious. 200 years ago, a French experimenter, Dr. Anton Mesmer, inadvertently discovered that by using verbal suggestion and a strange power obtained through strong imagination, he could produce healings in his patients. The English doctor James Braid, much later, used this power in conjunction with suggestion alone to cause another's low self to react to his command. We now call this form, using only suggestion, hypnosis. The other form of Mesmer is known as mesmerism. Later, a New England professor, Dr. F. Pierce, discovered that physical relaxation was necessary for suggestion to be fully effective. The subconscious mind must be quieted and made to relax before it can be conditioned. We call the administering of self-suggestion conditioning these days. In the 1950s, when Duke University became the center for ESP studies under Dr. J. Ryan, a Dr. H. Hart came to Duke and experimented with auto-conditioning. He believed one's real self suggests one's moods to the subconscious mind. He found his students could change their moods and general outlook through what he termed auto-conditioning. The success of his experiments, working with a number of students, was so marked that there could be no question of the validity of the results or of the outstanding benefits gained. It was found that nearly all of the students could learn auto-conditioning quickly and with not too much trouble. Since these pioneers, there have been many books presenting many facts on the power and the value of self-suggestion. The ancient psychology of Huna takes these facts and explains how and why self-suggestion works. To understand the rather intangible thing involved in the use of suggestion, let us consider the phenomena of hypnosis. A pamphlet printed in 1843 describes the use of mesmerism, which really includes hypnosis, as follows. I quote, "The magnetizer takes a seat facing his subject, sitting knees touching almost. He first placed the palms of his own hands upon the hands of the subject and endeavors to establish an equal degree of warmth between them. He then places the balls of his thumb against the balls of the thumbs of the subject, holding a gentle pressure. Then, abstracting his mind from all other thoughts and objects and fixing his eyes upon those of the subject with earnest determination, penetrating, but somewhat mild in expression, he exerts an unremitting, unchanging effort of will," that's will, "increasing its intensity the longer it continues until the subject yields before his superior power and closes his eyes in magnetic sleep." End quote. Here we can see the accumulated mana of the magnetizer's low self sent with the guidance of the middle self will into the subject. The idea of sleep is not mentioned, but is telepathically communicated to the subject's subconscious, where it has the power to cause the appropriate reaction. Hypnosis is a very powerful use of the power of suggestion. A hypnotist puts his subject to sleep in order to get the middle self completely relaxed and out of the way. It is the low self that accepts suggestion. The reasoning middle self stands between the low self and the external suggestion. Once the middle self is in a deep sleep, is out of the way, it cannot screen the suggestions, and the thoughts of the hypnotist will penetrate to the low self of the subject. When the thought form is reinforced by a charge of vital force, the suggestion becomes firmly fixed within the subconscious of the subject. Let me repeat that. It's basic. When the thought form is reinforced by a charge of vital force, mana, the suggestion becomes firmly fixed within the subconscious of the subject. The subject who has complete control over his low self can resist hypnotic suggestion. His middle self simply rationalizes everything and negates the suggestions. When the hypnotist suggests sleep, the subject simply says to himself mentally, "No, I am not going to sleep." Since the low self always obeys the thoughts of its master, its own middle self, the hypnotist's suggestion of sleep is neutralized. If, however, the subject is perfectly relaxed and the middle self does not rationalize the suggestion as it is given, he soon falls into a light or a deep trance-like sleep. This example serves to demonstrate the importance of relaxation when using self-suggestion. Both the conscious and the subconscious minds must be relaxed, but remain attentive. If the middle self mind is not quiet, it is difficult to concentrate on the desired thought form. The thought form is embodied. It is the thought in the suggestion. We will get to the thought form a little later. Peripheral thoughts will enter the mind and concentration will be difficult, very difficult. A properly organized thought form requires hard concentration, and all outside influences must be excluded. That is, concentration on the part of the entity giving the suggestion, whether it be the hypnotist or whether it be one's own middle self. As an experiment, try to quiet your mind and think of absolutely nothing for just 60 seconds. You'll find it extremely difficult. Thoughts of the day's problems or desires will filter into your mind. The subconscious mind, especially, must be relaxed. The Huna theory offers an explanation of why the low self accepts suggestion more readily when we are physically relaxed. Huna tells us that administering suggestion is a process of the middle self planting a strongly charged, that is, charged with mana, thought form, into the mind of the low self, into the center of consciousness of the low self. The low self and its animal body are both normally active, and there is a heavy charge of mana energy always in the physical body. If the low self is as heavily charged as the middle self, it tends to reject the offered thought form idea of the suggestion. But if it is relaxed in body, and so in its consciousness or mind, it becomes receptive and seems to attract the suggestion to itself and begin at once to react to that suggestion. This process can be likened to two highly charged batteries with their terminals connected. The battery with the higher potential or stronger charge will release some of its energy to fill the other. However, if both batteries are at the same potential, there would be no interchange of energy. When the low self with its physical body is relaxed, it needs only a small amount of life force to function. The middle self can draw much of the mana energy to its center of consciousness to aid in concentration and the pouring of a charge of will force into the suggestion, a pouring of mana, a building of mana into the thought form which makes the suggestion. The kahunas have known the importance of relaxation because their word for to relax is or was in the old days ho'olulu. That's not Honolulu. Ho'olulu, which means to sow or plant seeds, a symbol of planting tiny thought forms of suggested ideas into the consciousness of the low self. Their construct was really very simple. They believed a thought form was a real and concrete thing. To them, an idea was made of an invisible substance that was capable of absorbing mana or a charge of the life force. They believed that a thought form can be planted in the body, in the consciousness of the low self. This can be likened to an impression on a phonograph record. A number of related impressions make up a cluster of thoughts. And these thought forms, or clusters, contain the memories of complete events. These thought forms are capable of absorbing life energy. Mana strengthens the thought or memory. As an example, add the emotional energy of hate to some bad memory, and it will become so strong that it is almost an obsession. Dwell on some past memory and you can overcome it. Similarly, dwell on some positive thought, reinforce it with the emotional energy of desire, and you can strengthen this thought form so that it may become a reality or a condition of reality. The Huna symbol for a thought was a seed. One could not see the plant inside the seed. It was invisible. Yet, to the mind of the kahunas, the full-grown plant was actually inside the seed. One planted the seed, nourished it, and the result was a plant. In a similar fashion, one planted a seed of thought in one's subconscious mind, nourished this thought with life force, and the result was the desired thing. The Hawaiian word for seed is ano, ano, A-N-O, A-N-O. The root has the meaning of to change the state of things, or changing present conditions to become new. So you see the secret meaning behind their symbol of seed. There's an interesting story told in relation to this concept of the thought form as a seed. In the 7th century, Nestorian missionaries traveled into China and taught a variety of Christian ethics, which also contained Huna concepts. By far the most open presentation of the Huna system is found in an ancient Chinese book, The Secret of the Golden Flower, which is available in translation. The story tells of planting a seed in God's garden, which grows toward the light when it is watered daily. The seed is the suggestion. The seed grows toward light, which is the Huna symbol of the high self, The seed requires water, which is the Huna symbol for mana, or the life force. The importance of strengthening a thought form with a charge of vital force cannot be overemphasized. Dr. Anton Mesmer became famous throughout Europe by using a force which he called animal magnetism to obtain spectacular healings. Dr. Mesmer believed that he drew this magnetic force from magnets held in his hands and, once charged, caused this force to enter and to heal his patients. To explain this phenomenon by using the Huna constructs, we will say Dr. Mesmer imagined or visualized himself as accumulating a large charge of magnetism and inadvertently caused his low self to create a very large charge of mana. When he touched his patient to transfer the force, he administered a certain amount of telepathic suggestion. The idea of being healed was planted in the low self of his patient, and being highly charged with mana, the will of Dr. Mesmer's middle self so impressed the patient's low self that it caused it to react, to heal its body. Mesmer became very adept in accumulating mana and projecting it. He taught his methods to others, and by the year of 1784 became the center of a storm of controversy within the medical circles of the day. Benjamin Franklin, who was the United States ambassador to France at the time, was a member of a committee which investigated Dr. Mesmer's claims and techniques. Eventually, Mesmer conceded that holding a magnet in one's hand did not give one magnetic power. However, it could not be denied that some animal type of force was generated within the body and projected. Franklin was impressed and therefore became very much interested in magnetism in general. We all know of his experiment of flying a kite in a rainstorm and obtaining indications of electricity from a key on the kite string. Some of Mesmer's friends experimented with this force, and Baron de Pote found that he could make the magnetic force flow from his hands into a tub of water or a tree, there to remain static until a patient came into contact with it. Trees, obviously, do not offer suggestion, as later proponents of hypnotic suggestion pointed out when criticizing mesmerism as a healing system. The system of Huna offers a solution to this puzzle. Huna teaches that a thought is a material and actual thing, that it is capable of absorbing a large amount of vital force. This vital force, or mana, must be directed by the middle self to cause the force to act in a special way. Otherwise, the mana will be dissipated without accomplishing a thing. When Baron de Pote directed magnetism to charge a tree, a thought form of the patient in a state of health was placed in the tree and made strong by the charge of mana. It remained until the patient touched the tree. Then, de Pote's middle self will directed the force to enter the body of the patient and cause the healing. Suggestion of the mesmeric or hypnotic type is composed of an idea or thought form which has been strengthened by a charge of vital force and directed by the will of the middle self. This charged idea is introduced to the low self center of consciousness, where it then has the power to cause an appropriate reaction. In France, in the last generation, Dr. Couet taught people to think of themselves as healed. He administered suggestions to his patients by talking to their low selves, assuring them that their bodies would be getting well, He had his patients repeat day after day the phrase, "Every day and every way I am getting better and better." At one time, this formula was all the rage throughout the Western world. However, it failed in its promise, and people stopped using it. What was wrong? The answer is simple. The middle self was reciting words, and the low self may have listened, but the middle self did not make the proper charged mental picture of the better or healed condition, and then impress it suggestively on the relaxed low self. Here is the key to positive thought. Faith, belief, mana. If you, the middle self, are not fully convinced that you are getting better each day, then the low self will not believe it either. If the low self does not believe it, it will not start making the body match the picture of the healed state. Mana goes where it is directed, only if one has full confidence and the middle self puts power behind the suggestion. One's low self must believe that what is being suggested is possible and that results can be obtained. Jesus taught, "According to your faith, so shall it be unto you." This statement is pure huna. When we break a leg, we expect it to knit, and the low self acts accordingly. But if we do not fully and completely believe that our backache can be healed, the low self will not respond to our positive suggestion, and the ache will continue. I have explained the basics or fundamentals of the Huna theory of self-suggestion. We will next take up some of the techniques of administering suggestion. You must keep in mind that the goal of self-suggestion is to gain sufficient control of your low self to obtain its full cooperation in all the things that you, as a middle self, desire. With the cooperation of your low self, you can break the habits which you have had for years. Your low self can help in bettering health, reducing pain, providing peace of mind, or acquiring material riches. The well-integrated man has all three selves working together as a team, and with the physical body and the mana as its basic tool. This is the ideal state, the team working together. Suggestions are directed by the conscious mind to the subconscious. Life force, when directed by the middle force, carries will energy. When the suggested idea plus the force of the will or mana of the middle self produces a result, we have accomplished positive thinking through self-suggestion. And this ends this lecture, and I leave you with my aloha. Practice of Huna. The prayer is made to the superconscious or high self, you might say to the God within. All prayers are sent telepathically from the subconscious to the superconscious, no matter to whom you pray, whether it be to God or Jesus or some other deity. There's only one place where a prayer can go, and that is to the high self, or, as it is called in the Hawaiian, the Aumakua, or the utterly trustworthy parental spirit. I realize that it is very difficult for many of you who've been taught to believe in the old ways to accept the Huna philosophy. Habits of thought are very hard to break or to change. In Christianity, we are taught that we pray directly to God. The Huna philosophy tells us that we must pray through the subconscious mind, or low self, to the superconscious. The conscious mind, or middle self, can think and reason. It is the self that talks in order to transmit ideas. It is the only creature in the world that does talk. The subconscious mind, or low self, cannot reason too well. It serves as a holder of memories and conveys these memories in the form of sensations or thought pictures. These thought pictures are the basis of telepathy. We might say that telepathy is the conversation of two people along a mental telephone wire. If your spouse sends you a telepathic message to bring home a pound of butter, the low self transmits the message in picture symbols, not in words. Or it cannot use words. It gives you a picture of your spouse and follows that with a picture of butter. You do not know how you get the impression, but you know that you get it, and you bring home the butter. An important fundamental belief in the Huna system is that all prayer is telepathic, and telepathy is made of messages sent in picture form by the low self, sent as thought forms, thought form clusters. Our middle self gives our prayer first to the low self. It changes our wants into pictures and sends these pictures telepathically to the high self. If you picture yourself in perfect health and impress that thought on the low self as a desire, it will make a picture of you in perfect health and will send this picture to your high self. The high self answers the prayer by materializing the pictures for you, by making it come true. That is the secret of secrets in Huna. Your picture must not include your sickness. If you pray, "Heal my illness," the low self will make the picture of you in ill health as well as in good health, and will send this mixture of thought forms telepathically to the high self as your prayer. The new thought teaches that we use the positive affirmation, "I am perfectly well and strong and comfortable." In the 1930s, the Frenchman Dr. Coué taught this positive picture technique in his invaluable formula, "Every day, in every way, I am getting better and better." He pictured the getting well process. A better affirmation would be, "Every day, in every way, I have perfect health." We must hold this picture of ourselves as perfectly healthy. If we don't, we inevitably send a picture of all ill health to the high self to mix in and spoil the picture of all the perfect health. The first thing to be done in making a prayer is to decide exactly what one wishes to ask for. One must be very sure to have the exact need properly in mind. The prayer must be such that it will not be changed later on. To change a prayer after it has been sent to the superconscious will jeopardize the results one wishes to obtain. I wish to emphasize the fact that in making your prayer, you must create a picture of something already accomplished, not of something which is happening or is going to happen. You must make the picture of the accomplished fact. Consider the thing asked for as already given, completely, perfectly. Your picture must not leave the trousers off the suit. It would even be good to include the color of the suit and its size. The Huna initiate used symbols that were very picturesque. For instance, they used the symbol of water for the vital force, or mana. The Hawaiian kahunas used the word ho'ana, which means to worship. Ho means to make. It's from the root hu'u. And the ano, as we have seen, is a seed. So what do you do when you worship? You make a seed. And that was the thing that they made when they worshipped and prayed. They gave the seed to the high self and sent the vital force, water, so that it would grow. The water, or mana, is sent telepathically also to the high self. It goes along with the thought forms. We cannot send a sufficient supply of vital force with just one prayer to grow the seed to reality on the higher plane. We must contact the superconscious daily, accumulate a large supply of vital force, repeat our prayer word for word as we have memorized it, and send it again with the vital force. This process will strengthen the seed picture and will help the high self to continue to grow the seed. Once planted, the seed must not be dug up to see if it is sprouting. That would be doubt, a lack of faith, or the roots will be destroyed, stopping the growth of the prayer. If we have no faith, the seed will not take on substance and will not materialize into an actual condition on the physical level. Once you have planted a seed in your garden, you assume it is only a matter of time until it will grow into a plant. In the same way, you must believe that once the seed picture is planted with the high self, it is only a matter of time until this seed will grow into the thing or condition that you desire, that you ask for in your prayer. The kahunas used the word, the Polynesian word, anohau, A-N-O-H-O-U, and that means the answer to a prayer. Here once more, we have the roots for seed in ano, and the root hau, which means to make new or restore, to change the form of a thing or its appearance. The root hau also means to pant or breathe heavily, in which we cannot mistake the coded message of the deeper breathing which is necessary for the accumulation of mana. Once you have decided upon the exact picture you wish to create, the next step is to create the mana energy to send with the telepathic message with the thought forms. It is like a radio message that needs electric energy to send it out over the air. The low self creates vital force by taking in extra oxygen. Whenever we exercise and need more living vital force, we breathe more deeply. We breathe heavily and faster. And we create vital force so that we can exert ourselves. A noteworthy part of the Huna concept is that the high self has a very limited supply of vital force unless it obtains some from the physical body. When the superconscious is asked to take a pictured prayer to build into a reality, that is to make the prayer come true, vital force must be sent to strengthen the high self to enable it to produce the desired results. With the knowledge well in mind of what you will do with your mana, begin to accumulate a surcharge of this energy. Breathe deeper and more slowly. It is most important that you expect the low self to accumulate this energy. Tell your low self that you want to generate mana and that you expect it to cooperate in this accumulation. Take breaths in a series of 4 inhalations and exhalations. Pause a moment, then repeat. This breathing should continue in a slow rhythm until some 40 breaths in all have been taken. This is what the kahunas called the ha, H-A, the ha rite, and it means the 40 breath rite. But the root ha also means many, so there is no set number. If you begin to feel dizzy from too much oxygen, slow down or pause for a while and repeat your command to your low self that you are generating mana and expect it to help in the accumulation. All you are doing is furnishing the low self with enough oxygen so that it can burn blood sugar from the liver and manufacture the extra vital force. Once you have generated a large surplus of mana, you are ready to deliver your prayer to the superconscious. Repeat the words that describe the thing that you want. As you describe it, you are making a thought form picture, thought form clusters. The subconscious will receive this thought form cluster exactly as you have described it. You then direct your low self to send your prayer to the high self so that it may be materialized and made into a reality. You also mentally send the charge of vital force as a gift to strengthen the high self. Take your time. The important point is to remember to hold the desired picture in your mind and to keep in mind the low self and the high self. Dwell on them. Your low self will learn very quickly to contact the high self and to send the thought picture. Once you have sent your desired thought picture with the extra gift of mana to the high self, ask that the picture become a reality on the physical level. Do not be abrupt when ending your prayer action. Pause a bit. After a while, you will come to feel what is right. You may wish to use the closing phrase of the ancient kahunas after your prayer sending. They said, "My prayer has now taken flight. Let the rain of blessings fall. It is finished." Then you release the subconscious, and by doing that, you release the superconscious. If your prayer has been successful, and you wait expectantly, you may sense this rain of blessings. It is a return of the mana you have sent. The gift of vital force is somehow converted to an energy level that can be used by the high self, and it may then be returned to cleanse and to bless you. You may actually feel it. I have felt it very often. It is like a little shower of pins and needles, or as a very sharp shower falling on your head and shoulders. If you feel nothing, have faith and say, "I have delivered my prayer, and now I leave it in the hands of my high self, my superconscious. It is only a matter of time before my desire will be materialized." Another point. It is very important to generate as much emotion as possible in desiring the prayed-for condition. The low self is the center of the emotions. It makes the emotions. And if you can stir it up enough to get it emotionally active and desiring fervently the thing that you wish to ask for, it will help with the prayer. A cold prayer is a reasoning action of the middle self, but add the cooperation of the low self and the prayer becomes a warm, living, emotional desire. An example is the emotional heart cry for help, which often reaches the high self in emergencies. The high self is not one to stand on ceremony when time is lacking and the need is sudden and great. Strong emotion causes the instant giving of what mana we have in the body, and the high self takes and uses that mana. When one is in great need and cries out emotionally, the low self automatically makes extra vital force and sends the picture to the high self. We are all familiar with the miracles and the healings that take place at the shrine at Lourdes in France. In most of these cases, two important elements have been present. First, the patient has a deep faith that he will be healed. Second, he has been in a highly emotional state. In many, many cases, a good Christian has an open path or connection to his superconscious. He may think that he is praying to God or to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit, or to the Virgin Mary, or some saint. But in every case, the prayer can go only to one place, that is, to the high self. And it can go only in one way, that is, telepathically. You do not have to be psychic or to have special powers to use this Huna prayer technique effectively. Everyone has the ability to contact his high self. If you wish to test your ability, try to use the Huna prayer in healing. Try simple ills at first. Cuts, burns, and breaks are the best to practice on. With daily treatments with mana, a surprising response may occur. You may be a natural healer and not know it. Or, with practice, you may be able to develop definite healing powers. You must be willing to practice a little and to teach your low self what it is to do. It must learn to take your pictured prayer and send this picture to your high self. With practice, your low self will become proficient, and after a few successful healings, confidence will be gained. It is most important that you have faith in your ability. Faith can make all the difference between successful and unsuccessful prayer. The first step is to create mana by breathing in sets of four breaths, as I have described earlier. You breathe deeply and slowly and rhythmically. Silently, you ask your low self to manufacture a large supply of mana. Keep in mind that you are doing this in order to have the mana at hand for healing. Also keep in mind that you are going to ask your low self to call upon your high self to help with this healing after the mana has been sent to the high self. When you feel that you have accumulated a large amount of energy, make a mental picture of the patient as in perfect health. Do not picture the hurt or illness. Picture only the desired condition. Then, mentally, call to your high self. Do this silently. The low self and the high self need pictures or thought forms strengthened with mana. These pictures are your blueprint of what you wish to have materialized or made real. With your picture of the healed state in mind, approach your patient and place your fingers lightly on the place that is injured. If this spot cannot be touched, hold your hands a short distance from the body and on either side of the hurt if you can. The low self can project your mana if you mentally request it to do so. That is, project it to the patient as well as to the high self. The low mana given to the patient without the prayer is helpful just in itself. Expect your high self to give you the help you wish. Mentally, direct the mana charge through your fingers to go into the patient. There, the high self can utilize it to correct the trouble. Tell your low self to send this mana energy into the patient in order to make possible that healing. The treatment can last a minute or two, and then you can relax and recharge yourself with mana and repeat the treatment if you wish. When you've finished, end by giving thanks to your high self silently and then to your low self, unless you're working in a group where you wish to speak aloud. Afterwards, it is a good idea to wash your hands as a matter of self-suggestion and tell yourself that you are washing away all the illness, that it goes down the drain, never to return. This will prevent the possibility of picking up the illness through suggestion. You can get results quite easily if your prayer does not involve asking some other person to help. Prayers that involve the help of other people will take longer to be materialized. For instance, a prayer for a new home requires the cooperation of several people. This desire may take quite a long time to materialize because the high self must obtain the cooperation of the high selves of all others associated with the obtaining of the new home. You can never get the high self to rob Peter to pay Paul for you. You cannot pray, "Give me that man's house," because the high self will not act to take the house away from somebody else and give it to you. The high self may act to bring you into contact with someone who wishes to sell his house, for instance. If your thought picture described a particular house, a particular style, with a certain floor plan, it may take a long time for your high self to bring about this contact with the owner of such a house. However, if the desire is great, and if you are consistent in your prayer, and if you make your picture and sincerely believe that the high self is working for you, then you will find the type of house that you want. I had an experience which will illustrate the effectiveness of Huna prayer. My wife and our partner, who had been with us for many years, and I used to live in Hollywood, and I had built a very convenient little studio in the backyard of our home. I had my desk and typewriter and mimeograph there and spent many happy hours writing and visiting with my friends and answering my correspondence. Eventually, the smog became so noticeable and unbearable that we decided to move. After much searching, we found a house in Vista that was just right. Unfortunately, the price was a little higher than we felt that we could afford. Things remained static for a while until I examined myself carefully one day to see if I had any subconscious blocks about moving. I discovered that my low self was hanging on to the Hollywood property. It didn't want to give up the studio that I had built. So I then talked to my subconscious like a Dutch uncle and persuaded it to let loose of the studio which we loved. We had 15 days of bad smog at about that time, and I am sure that this helped convince my low self that it was time to move. It was not long until our realtor in Vista called to tell us that the owner had not been able to sell the house and that he had decided to reduce the price to our level. Since the house was in probate, the owner would require the full purchase price in cash. This meant we would have to sell our Hollywood house and match that time so that we could buy the house in Vista. After talking things over, we decided to take things on faith and pray our way out of Hollywood and into Vista. We prayed that the owners would accept our offer and that before the money came due, we would have the full amount in cash. Everything worked like clockwork. We had our Hollywood property on the market, and we made an offer to the judge of the probate court for the house in Vista. One day, we had word that the Vista house would be sold to us, that the judge had knocked it down to us, and an hour later, our realtor in Hollywood called up to say that he had sold our house there and for cash. Everything worked smoothly, and we closed the deal in Vista. In short order, we were able to move out of Hollywood and down to the country where there's no smog and where there's everything desirable in the way of a home. This story serves to illustrate the importance of obtaining the cooperation of your low self in achieving desired results. As long as my low self did not want to give up the studio, it did not send my prayer picture properly of the new house to my high self. My prayers were ineffective until I persuaded my low self to let go. Then, with its cooperation, everything developed quickly and as desired by the conscious mind self. Obviously, the thought forms of a house in the country were then sent on to my high self so that it could take my gift of mana and create the desired end condition. To review, once you have accumulated an extra charge of mana, command the low self to contact the high self and to begin sending your gift of mana to it. Once this order has been given mentally, the picture of the desired condition is added, and one visualizes as perfectly as possible the thing desired as being given now. Your prayer has been carefully formulated and is memorized and should be spoken aloud, slowly and carefully. The prayer should be simply a description of the desired state as though it had already been materialized for you. This description amounts to an affirmative statement, or an affirmation, as we call it in New Thought. You present the thought form seed of the end product. After a pause, you give thanks for the expected answer, and then end your prayer quietly. Mankind has prayed for centuries, often with little or no results. Men have tried endlessly to explain this failure. They have made sacrifices of all kinds. However, they have not known that what must be given as a sacrificial offering is mana, the life force. The only meaningful sacrifice to the high self is the energy we create by breathing more deeply and by commanding our low selves to accumulate an extra charge. It is this mana that we consciously offer with the picture of the desired condition to our high selves. We furnish the thought form seed. We water the seed with mana. The high self then begins to materialize or grow the seed. Daily, in full confidence and with full faith, we send the mana and renew our picture. Then, one fine day, the answer suddenly is there. And this ends the lecture for this time. And may I say aloha.